In early October, Dr. Jason Baxter did a podcast talking about teaching writing to our freshmen. When I mentioned that to a friend who teaches at another college, he commented, "Well, good luck with that." Dr. Baxter had more than just good luck. He's had great success. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, your host. In addition to getting the freshmen to write, rewrite, rewrite, rewrite some more, Dr. Baxter has been teaching the methods for refining what they want to say and making it more precise. And he promised, as part of this freshman trivium course he's teaching, an essay competition. Well, that competition happened a couple of weeks ago, and Dr. Baxter tells me it included a great deal of raucous cheering, laughter, and applause. Students were genuinely excited about writing. The first place winner, by student and faculty acclaim, was Marietta Mortensen. Marietta hails from right here in Lander, Wyoming, is the eldest of nine, and often is the cantor at our midday mass here at the college chapel. And since good news is for sharing, I asked Marietta to tell us about the writing class and then asked her to read her essay for us. Marietta, tell us about the process Dr. Baxter led you all through. What were the classes like, and what did he do to have you polish your writing?
Well, first of all, I think Trivium has got to be the most hilarious class that we have. He keeps us all laughing, and so he keeps us all awake as we talk about commas and the subject and the predicate and advanced stylistics. But more specifically, he has had us go through several authoritative texts on how to write, especially how to write about literature. And about our experiences. And he'll have us bring in our own writing and compare it to famous authors and compare it to what these authors say about how to say what you want to say.
Has the class helped you improve your writing?
Yes. It's helped me be more reflective about my own writing and given me permission, I suppose, to compare my writing to great writers and see how it is similar, how it is different, and how I can come up with my own voice.
Now, what was the essay assignment?
The essay assignment, it was our very first one for Trivium, and it was to write a 3 or 4 page essay on an experience that we'd had on our 21-day trip. Just anything that stuck out to us. And it took us, I think it took us about a month, maybe a month and a half. We were given a lot of time to do it, and we talked a lot about how to write and read a lot of great writers, especially nature writers. And the goal the whole time was for it to be a competition.
What nature writers did you particularly appreciate?
Well, I enjoyed, we read a little bit of Annie Dillard. Her style is very different from mine, but I enjoyed reading someone who was so different, so poetic in how she wrote. Yeah, I think Annie Dillard would be my favorite.
I know people who love Annie Dillard. And I know people who say, Annie Dillard, she's on her way to the mailbox. 50 pages later, she hasn't gotten there.
it's very true.
Okay, well, would you read your essay for us?
From Thy Bounty. Until a few months ago, I had never cried at beauty. I would have regarded it as an inappropriate and sentimental response, and I consider myself to be a level-headed, logical person. However, this past summer, I went on my very first backpacking trip, a 21-day ordeal in the Wyoming Wind River Mountains. Several days into the first week, when we paused for a lunch break, our instructor told us to keep our packs on and follow her. She led us off the trail, into the trees, between several sets of boulders, and then out of the trees to a view that changed my life. We found ourselves at the meeting point of two lakes, each surrounded by forested peaks, with the lake on our left pouring down into the one on our right in a series of waterfalls. It had been raining that morning, and the mountains were wreathed in clouds, but even as we watched, the wind began to pile the clouds into each other, and the sun sent gentle beams through the gaps, which brushed the water and sent it sparkling. I stopped, breathless, at the edge of those lakes, and knew as surely as I've ever known anything, that it was all there for me. My reaction took me utterly by surprise. I would have expected to feel joy or wonder or gratitude. Instead, to my astonishment, my throat closed up and my eyes began to burn with tears. I was utterly bewildered as I stood there, surrounded by the familiar chatter of my groupmates, staring at a beauty I could never have imagined, and grappling with the realization that I was about to cry. I fought it. What an illogical and sentimental thing to do, to weep at beauty, I told myself. It must be hormones, or exhaustion, or sheer feminine idiocy. So I sat down, hugging my knees, and desperately trying to retain the last vestiges of my familiar reality as it slipped away down the waterfalls. I fought my reaction as fundamentally irrational, and I almost won. But as I teetered on the knife's edge between hot tears and cold logic, my groupmates found their seats, pulled out their lunches, and began to pray the most mundane, mindless prayer I know. They said, "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty." From thy bounty. I heard those words as I had never heard them before. They dropped into my heart like the last few drops into an overfull glass. I put my head down on my knees and burst into tears. For me, beauty has always been an impersonal encounter. Whether it be looking at a famous painting or a glorious sunset, my impression is fundamentally the same. They never really have anything to do with me. Other women in history have lovers who shower them with beautiful works of art. To them are dedicated paintings and sonatas and sonnets, but that has never been part of my world. I know those paintings and sonatas and sonnets, but they are not for me. Much less so the beauty of the wilderness, that ferocious, remote, terrifying beauty. The wilderness is beautiful beyond description and utterly indifferent to my existence. That was my opinion until the day I walked to the edge of the mountain lake that was created to make me cry. Why did I cry? I cried at the beauty. I cried because it was an overabundance of beauty such as I had never encountered before. More fundamentally, I cried because it was an overabundance specifically meant for me. That valley and those waterfalls had been formed a millennia ago so that one day a 19-year-old girl would sit there and know she was loved and weep. I knew it had been created for me, which meant I was loved beyond the extremes of any human lover. In that moment, the beauty of the world, expressed both in nature and through human art, was no longer an impersonal force, but a personal gift, a gift born of abundance. It was the kind of gift a lover gives to overwhelm his beloved with the scope, with the bounty of his love. That is the sole purpose of beauty. Beauty exists to overwhelm us with the love of our Creator through a direct outpouring of his bounty, a bounty that is directed at us with the same single-minded intention as if we were the only person who existed and were eminently worthy of love. The purpose of beauty is to make us weep at the realization that we are loved in a personal way. The mountains and lakes may exist for practical ecological purposes, but they are beautiful because we are loved. Since that day, I have become convinced that the most appropriate reaction to beauty is tears. Joy, wonder, and gratitude all have their place in our encounters with the love of God, but to a certain extent, they can remain impersonal, removed from the love and from the lover. Genuine tears are never impersonal. They are the sign that we have been deeply pierced by an experience of that love. Tears well up from the realization of how bountifully we are loved and how constantly we respond with ignorance and indifference. My thought at the time was that I had reacted irrationally and idiotically, but my heart understood what my head took weeks of thought and writing to reach. My reaction was irrational in that it was more than rational. It pierced the veil between the visible reality and the invisible meaning. When one looks in the face of an abundant, bountiful love, unrequited and unrequited, there is no reaction more appropriate than weeping. It is a weeping that encompasses both joy and sorrow and surpasses them both. It is a personal response to a personal love. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was lovely. Francis Bacon said, "Reading maketh a full man, conference a ready man, and writing an exact man." Between a great deal of reading, seminar-style classes, and an emphasis on writing, particularly on writing well, Wyoming Catholic College hopes to see alumni who are full, ready, and exact, and who can take what they've learned into any and every legitimate human endeavor. That our alumni are already doing precisely that is, at this point, a matter of the record. As we approach Advent, and with it approach the end of the calendar year, would you consider a gift to Wyoming Catholic College to support the education of students like Marietta and her classmates? Given the state of higher education in America today, students who can read well, speak precisely and graciously, and write clearly and persuasively benefit us all. Visit our website, wyomingcatholic.edu, for our mailing address or to donate online. And thank you in advance for your generosity. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.